All right, Shabbos, say good morning, good morning, a good night to everyone. What happened over here? All right, let us begin by Meir Hashem thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's year, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan, Haba Aleinu Latova, Seyidin Simehaken, to show their Akaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of his Nisim and Niflaos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bestow his Rachmanos upon us, redeem all of the hostages, bring complete Hatzlacha to our precious soldiers, to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, and Le'iloi Nishmas Yachmiel Buck's father, Martin Buck, Matl Ben Chaim Leib HaKoin, Zichron Levrach, our Dafyomi sponsor, Dovi and Nina Elman, in honor of Uncle Paul, whose dedication to the Daf inspires Dovi each and every day, and by Tali and Michelle Strum, in honor of the birth of their granddaughter. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Should be Besoros Tovos for all of Klal Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We actually have, I meant to put it on the chat, we have an incredible, ridiculously amazing daf today. Really, really, like even more than normal, if that's even possible. Today's daf is Nun Ches 58. We are picking up, where did we leave off? Did I get to the bottom? Did I make it all the way to the bottom? The last two dots. Second to last two dots. No Seschar. Okay, I thought I did. I didn't make a run for that. Almost. All right. Fine. I read the crowd, and I was like, all right, I'm going to stop over here for today. All right, so let's go right. So Gemara quotes the Mishnah. No say schar in a mishnah. So remember again, one more time, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Mishnah was talking about different situations where ona doesn't apply. So it gave four different categories: avodim, shtaros, karkoos, and hekdeshos. Okay, after that, the Gemara said also regarding these four categories, A Shomer Sachar doesn't pay. So remember again, under normal circumstances, the halacha is that a Shomer Sachar is pretty much chai, right? He's chai for Geneva Vaveda, he's chai for Pshia. The only thing that he's not chai for is going to be Ones, extenuating circumstance. So, but in these four categories, a no se schar would not be obligated to pay. So says the Gemara, we already know this from. So we'll say very similar drasha to what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, the Tan Rabbanon, ki yitein ish al re'ehu. The pasuk says if a person will go ahead and give to his fellow. Again, I will say the rest of the pasuk is kesef o kelim lishma. I'm sorry, chamor o shor o seh. So the aloch is over here. A person gives over to his friend any of these items to go ahead and watch. So ki yitein ish al re'ehu, person will give to his fellow, klau. This is an inclusive statement. Chamor osa oshar. Oh, sorry. Chamor oshar osa. A donkey, an ox, or a sheep. Prat. This is a more specific statement. The chol behema lishmar, or any animal to guard. Chazar v'kalal. So we'll say, what do we have over here? Klal upratu klal. Iata don elike inapra. So whenever you have a klal upratu klal, that's an exegetical principle. What does that do? So in this case over here, the prat comes to really define the klal. Ma prat mefurish davar hametal to the gufa mamon. Just like the prat. In this case over here, the chamor, oshar, oseh, is something that is metaltal, it's movable, and inherently valuable. So too, it comes to include that when is a Shomer Sachar going to be chayiv to pay? For any situation where the object is movable and has an inherent value, what does it come to exclude? Yatsu karka shein metaltlin. It comes to exclude ultimately karka because karka is not movable. Metaltlin, Gemara says, yatsu avadim shikshul karka. So it comes to exclude karka because karka, sorry, avadim, slaves, because they are compared ultimately again to karka. Yatsu shtaros. And it comes to exclude shtaros, because even though a shtar is movable, it is not inherently valuable. I hekdeshos, amakra re'ehu v'lo shel hekdesh. Excludes hekdesh, why? Because the pasuk says re'ehu, your fellow, and your fellow means, again, another individual, not hekdesh. Good, beautiful drasha. Shomer chinam eino nishba. Simei genova say, now actually, it's actually interesting. You don't see this very often. The Gemara now is re-quoting a previous statement from the Mishnah. Right? The previous statement of the Mishnah was, in all of these four categories, is Shomer Chinam doesn't pay. Now, as Rabbi said, remember, normally, what's the halacha? The halacha is that a Shomer Chinam, because he's unpaid, therefore he has diminished liability. So therefore, the halacha is that he is exempted in almost every single case except for pshia, for negligence. Now, as we've already established, It's not just enough to make the claim. He has to swear. He has to swear that he was not negligent. So in these cases, in these four categories, a shomer chinam doesn't swear. Umenu, the Gemara says, one second. Suppose that this is actually such a beautiful case. Do you remember again our Shkalim days? Shkalim, right? Shkalim was so unique because it's the one Yerushalmi tractate that is included in Daf Yomi. Remember again, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because the wording of the Masechta was not is somewhat complicated. But it was such a beautiful Masechta. It's nice to have a little bit of a throwback to that. Rominu, b'nei ir sheshalchu es shikleyin b'nignivu. So we'll say here's the case. So remember again, everybody was obligated to go ahead and contribute machzis hashekel. Remember again, what was the role of machzis hashekel? So the role of machzis hashekel was every yid, every Jew has to have a portion in communal sacrifices. How do you get your portion? You contribute. You contribute. So now watch the following case. So let's say, right, we're in a faraway community. So what happened? We sent our half shekels with a shaliach. So b'nei yir sheshalchu ashik leyan v'nignivu o sha'avdu. And what happens? And halacha l'maisa on the way. Right, let's say we're a chabura. So we sent our machzis hashekel with a shaliach, with an agent, and on the way, he's robbed. Nignivu, right? He's robbed, and the shkalim are stolen, or sha'avdu, or he lost the shkalim. So we'll say, so now what's the shaila? We know where this is going. What's the shaila? The shaila is, what is our responsibility? Right? What's our responsibility? So the Gemara says, it depends. Now watch this. Now, if look at Rashi for just a moment. Last Rashi on the daf. Im nishnitra hatruma. Im kishabo ledin. Kavar nitrama hatruma shayu tarmina lishka begimel kupos. So we'll say, now watch this. If by the time this case came to Beis Din, they had already withdrawn the first batch of shkalim from the temple treasury. You know, so we're not going to get into all of this now, but if you remember again, they would collect all of the half shekels, and then they would withdraw them at three different intervals during the year in order to go ahead and purchase communal offerings. So the Gemara says like this, if by the time this case came to light, they had already made the first withdrawal, then what's the halacha? Top of Nunches, the Gemara says, Nishpan Ligizbarin. So ultimately, again, the shaliach would swear to the temple treasurer that he was not negligent with the shkalim that he was transporting. Take a look at the top Rashi on 58a, Nun Chesam Dalaf, a really beautiful Rashi. So the Shalom Gizbarn, Shalom Pashu, Shehin Baalei Adin. Supposed to now listen to this. Now, why are the shluchim, why is the agent swearing that he was not negligent? Why is he taking this oath towards the Gizbar? Because it was, and I watch this. The way it works is once they go ahead, we'll see this in the Gemara, but once they do the initial withdrawal from the half shkalim accumulated inside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And that counts even for the people whose shkalim are in transit. So essentially, when they go ahead and they did that first withdrawal, if halacha l'maisa again, therefore, they did it really on behalf of us, even though our shkalim did not reach there. Therefore, when the shaliach now claims that the shkalim were lost, or the shkalim were stolen, so really, this is a claim that the Beis HaMikdash has against this shaliach. Because we've essentially satisfied our obligation because the money was withdrawn on our behalf. Therefore, the shaliach has to swear to the gizbar that he was not negligent. Ve'imlav, however, again, if the claim, right, if this whole situation comes to light, and we're making the claim, the shliach is saying the money was lost or the money was stolen, and this happened ultimately again before the money was withdrawn in the Beis HaMikdash, then the shpoin liv ne'ayir, then Abba say again, we have not yet satisfied our obligation, therefore the shliach swears to us, the chevra, right, the chabura, the group, that he was not negligent, u b'ne'ayir shoklin achirim tachtayen. And Abba say, in that case, we would be obligated to go ahead and what? Separate out new machzis hashakel. So we'll see here this distinction? So again, let's just frame the case one more time. Let's assume that right now we are a community. We go ahead and we send our collective half shkalim with the shaliach to the Beis HaMikdash. On the way, he claims it was stolen or it was lost. So what's the halacha? So Gemara says, it depends. Was money, were half shkalim in the Beis HaMikdash already withdrawn on our behalf? If they're withdrawn on our behalf, then essentially it's as if we have fulfilled our obligation, which means now it's the Beis HaMikdash that has a monetary claim against the Shaliach, and the Shaliach has to swear to the Beis HaMikdash that he was not negligent. However, again, if this whole thing comes to light before money was withdrawn on our behalf in the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then it's a claim between us and the Shaliach. If the Shaliach swears that he was not negligent, fine, he's off the hook. But we have to go ahead and contribute another Machtzis HaShekel. Incredible. What happens? Nimtzu Akshayazim HaGanavim. So we'll say, what happens if the lost half shkalim were found? Or the Ganav, right, who stole it, ultimately was Chozer B'tshuva. So what's the halacha? Elu v'elu shkalim heim ve'in olin lahem l'shana haba. Shabbos says, so again, remember, let's say the stolen shkalim were retrieved, or the lost shkalim were retrieved, but by this point in time, our community, already went ahead and separated a second machzis hashakal, because we thought it was lost, we thought it was gone. Shabbos say, again, both shkalim are going to be kodesh, and again, you can't credit it towards next year either. So it turns out that year on your tax return, you're right that you gave a whole shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't credit it towards the future. Incredible. So now, what's the problem? So what do you see from here? You see from here that the Shaliach, right, the Shaliach, ultimately, again, is taking a shvuah. So we'll say, we just said before in the Mishnah that one of the cases that a Shomer Chinam does not go ahead and take a Shavuah when it comes to Hekdish. Here you see that the Shomer Chinam is taking a Shavuah when it comes to Hekdish. So what's going on over here? So Amar Shmuel, no. Hacha b'no se schar askinon. This is talking about over here a situation of a paid custodian. All right, so what? V'nishba'in litol scharan. So we're saying, what is he going ahead? What is he swearing? He's swearing because he wants to get paid his wage. That's what he wants to get paid. Ehachi nishpan ligizbarin lemnei irmibayli. If that's the case, that he's taking the shvuah in order to get paid, right? In other words, he's owed money. He's only going to collect his money if he takes the shvuah. If that's the case, then why is he swearing to the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is not paying him. Who's paying him? We're paying him. So you should take a shvuah to us. Amar Rabba nishbain lebnei ha'ir b'maimad gizbarin. So the rabbi says, you're right. The truth is, he's swearing to us in order for him to collect his wage, but he swears in the presence of the temple treasurer that no one should suspect him of misappropriation. In other words, I will say, think about this in just a moment. If you're the guy entrusted to go out and deliver the machzis hashakel, and again, you lose it or it's stolen from you, this does not look good. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right. In reality, this guy is taking a shvuah to us, the community members, that he did not misappropriate in order to collect his wage. He's getting paid a salary to do this. But he also takes this oath in the presence of the temple treasurer so that the Beis HaMikdash should not, chas v'shalom, suspect him of any level of a misappropriation as well. Incredible. I have the Gemara of the Inami. Other possibilities. Ki echi t'lo likru luhu poshim. Furthermore, again, I will say he takes this shvuah that no one ultimately, again, should call them negligent. I v'han nignivu, osha avdu katani. But the Gemara says, one second, here's the problem. So now you've just set this up, that this is a shomer sachar, not a shomer chinam. So I will say, if it's a shomer sachar, then shomer sachar, b'gneva v'aveda chiyuvi michayvi. I don't understand. A shomer sachar, I will say, is chayiv for gneva v'aveda. Right? If the object is lost or stolen, the shomer sachar is chayiv. So what's going on over here? You're telling me over here that the shomer sachar takes an oath that he wasn't negligent, but he takes an oath and he's free from liability and he collects his wage. But we just set up the braisa saying that the money was stolen or lost. If it's stolen, he's chayiv. To which the Gemara says, "Shomer sachar b'nei v'aveid chiv mechayvi v'hachi nami nehi deshalume lo meshalmi agraihu miulafsid." Amar Rava, Rava says like this: "Nignevu belistin mezuyin avdu shetavusin asalayam." The Gemara says, no, Rabbi, we've given this answer many times before. When the Gemara says stolen doesn't mean a simple case of stolen. Rather, what does stolen mean? Armed bandits, armed robbers. Now, we'll say armed robbers are considered to be ones. And what does it mean when it says that it's stolen? Lost means the ship sank. So what the Gemara suggests is that these are not normal cases of Geneva Va'aveda. Rather, again, these are Ones situations. These are Ones situations. That's the case. Incredible. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hamani. We'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Shimoni, what does Rabbi Shimon say? The Amar Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan Yesh Lahen Ona V'Nishbohen Aleihen. Okay, so we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, the following idea, that Halacha L'Maisa, so we'll say, so now the Gemara is suggesting, maybe our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon makes an interesting distinction. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between karbanos, or kachim in general, that you have responsibility for, versus kachim that you don't have responsibility for. Rabbi Shimon suggests as follows. He holds that any kachim that you do have a responsibility for, there is ona, so that's interesting by itself, and you swear about them. So I just want to point out over here, you know, our Mishnah said that there is no ona'a by kachim. And again, our Mishnah also said that a shomer chinam would not have to take an oath when it comes to kachim. Rabbi Shimon essentially qualifies that statement. Rabbi Shimon says, it depends what kind of kachim you're talking about. Kachim that you don't have any responsibility for, ultimately there's no ona'a and no shvua. But kachim that you do have responsibility for, there is ona, and ultimately, again, you do take a shvua. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Hatenach achlo nitruma atruma. So we'll say, so by the way, what's a good example of kachim that you have responsibility for? Machzis hashakel. Machzis hashakel. Why are both said? Because we've established in general. We'll say, let's take a regular case. You separate a machzis hashakel, right? You put it in your pocket. And then what happens? You lose it. What's the halacha? You have to give another one. So we'll say, so machzis hashekel is an incredible example of something that is kodesh, it is sanctified, but ultimately, again, you have responsibility for it. So based on that, based on Rabbi Shimon, it would be subject to ona, and it would be chayv shvua. Ha-teinach achlo nitruma atruma. So we'll say, so that makes sense. I understand. Therefore, if we're talking about a case where the withdrawal from the Beis HaMikdash has not yet been made, but mishin nitruma atruma, so we'll say, here's the issue. Once the initial withdrawal has been made from the Beis HaMikdash kafirs, then what? The Gemara says, then kachim she'enav chayav b'achriyusin ninu. Then I will say, essentially what we said before, the only time that machzis hashekel is considered to be kachim that you are responsible for is when, if you lose it before the withdrawal has been made. But remember, as we saw before, once the initial withdrawal has been made, I will say, what's talacha? Then that's as if the withdrawal has been made on your behalf, and therefore you no longer have an achrayus. For example, the Gemara says, Desanya. So we'll say, this is incredible. Desanya. Termin ala avud va'ala gavoy va'ala asid ligbos. So we'll say, so remember again, the halacha is, that when they go ahead, when the gizbar, when the temple treasurer makes that initial withdrawal from the half shekel coffers in the Beis HaMikdash, they do that on behalf of Gan's Klal Yisrael. Therefore, again, whether your money has already been deposited in the Beis HaMikdash, or your money is in transit on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, or going to come in the future, or your money was in transit but was lost, you're covered by that initial withdrawal. If that's the case of Mosai, then in this case, this should be kachim for which the shomer does not have any achrayus. If that's the case, then why does he have an obligation to swear? To which the Gemara says, "Ela Amar Belazar, you're right. Shavua zu takanas chachamim hi shelo yehi bnei adam mezalzlin begdeishos." So Rabbi says, this is incredible. Therefore, the Gemara answer, Belazar answers that you're right. In reality, Rabbi says, it could very well be that the shomer should not have to swear in this case where he lost the chatzi shekel that he was transporting, or it was stolen from him. So why does he have to take a shavua? Because we'll say the halacha is, in any case where you're dealing with hekdesh, you have to swear. There's no such thing as being freed from liability in a hekdesh case without an oath. Why? In order that hekdesh not be treated lightly. Say, Rabbi Yosef, we kind of turned this entire thing on its head and made this is not really about does hekdesh have ona, not ona, nishpana, like this is a general concept. And I both said, this is how the Rambam paskins, Hilchos Schirus, Beis, Perak Beis, Halacha Beis. Listen to this. The Rambam writes, they tiknu chachamim, Shenishbo'in al ha'kdeshos shvuas hashomrim ke'in shal Torah k'deshlo yizazlu be'kdeshos. So the Rambam asks, I will say, if you are entrusted, if you are a shomer on hekdesh, right? Even though we said before that ein nishbo'in al ha'kdeshos, right? That if you're, we'll say, the halacha is chazal, that's medaraisa. Chazal instituted a rabbinic oath. So whenever you are involved in the transport or the care of kodesh items, if something happens, you must swear in order to free yourself from liability. That's the halacha. Beautiful. Let's go back here. No say schar einu mashalim. Similarly, again, we said that a paid shomer, right? A paid shomer does not go ahead and have to pay. We'll say in these four categories. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosei bar Chama l'Rabbo. So Rav Yosei bar Chama raised the following contradiction to Rabbo. Tanan, no say schar einu mashalim. So we'll say our Mishnah said that when it comes to the four categories, right? We'll say again. So really, karka avodim shtaros karkaos and hekdeshos. So ultimately, a shomer sachar does not have to pay in these four cases. That was the drasha that we did at the beginning of today's shir. So the Gemara says, "Ramli Rav Yosei bar Chama, the Rava. Tanan, no say schayim mishalim." So our Mishnah says a paid custodian doesn't have to pay in these four categories. Umino, Gemara is a kasha. Hasocher esapol lishmor esapara. So we'll say, this is incredible. Incredible. So let's say, I hire a worker to watch the para. Then we'll say, which para? Which para? Paraduma. Paraduma. We'll say, person has a paraduma. It makes sense. You don't want anything to mess up that paraduma. We'll say, remember again, it is so easy to mess up a paraduma. How do you mess up a paraduma? How do you mess up a paraduma? You don't give it enough attention, right? You don't love it enough. You can really mess it up. You mess up a paraduma, we'll say, somebody puts a yoke on that para. Somebody works with that para, right? And the smallest thing. So if you had a paraduma b'pashtos, you hired someone to watch it, or lishmor esatinok, or we'll say again to watch the child. So we'll say, so just to point out, this is not babysitting. What is this? Look at Rashi; it's really incredible. Now, first of all, Rashi says over here, sochar esapolim. We'll say in the widest lines, third line in sochar esapolim, gizbar shal hektish shesachar polim shaktish. So we'll say we're talking about over here. The Beis HaMikdash is hiring these people. So first thing is the Beis HaMikdash hired someone to watch the Paraduma. That's case one. What's case two to watch the children? Rashi says, Lishmor satinoko shlo yitamu shay megadlin osan lepara bechaseras habenuyos besloim v'tachteim kala kidarmina besuka bayash in tachas hamita l'fisha asu maila b'koin asorif esapara shetei b'shas. We'll say, remember again, we had this in Sukkah. In Sukkah, they had these very unique communities where they would raise children essentially in like a little bit of isolation, not from their families, but isolation, so that these children, there would be no chashash of tuma, in order that they should be able to go ahead and, take care of the paraduma. So we'll say, it's incredible. Remember again, like these places, these communities, these chaseros, were situated in a way that there was no chashash, no concern of any type of tumas mace underneath it. All that these children should remain absolutely, unequivocally, ritually pure. Ritually pure. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, Lishma, so if you look at Rashi, he says over here, Lefisha asu ma'ala b'koin asori v'esapara, shetei b'shas v'tara, v'ein echa v'konin no gimbo kol shiva k'damirin b'seidu yoma, v'atinoko asalalo shalo nitmu'u me'olam me'malin mayim l'mekachin, u'mazin alav kol shiva. So ultimately, again, these children would be responsible ultimately, again, for filling up the water that would be used to go ahead and make sure that the coin himself was tahar. So incredible. So I hire someone to watch the children. Lishmor es hazraim. So Rashi points out to over here, Lishmor es hazraim. Well, it's actually incredible. This was the field, ultimately, again, that was set aside for the Karban HaOmer. Wow. Wow. Incredible. Right, Hayom Shlosh Yomim BaOmer. I would say so incredible to think about. Look at Rashi, Lishmor Ezraim Sade Hamivakeres Uzrua LaOmer Koldom LaPesach Shivim Yom Kedamim Menachos. So, okay, Rashi gives another idea that maybe it's Svichim or Shtei Alechem. We'll go with the first idea. Say, Rabbi, say again, this was the field from which you would bring the Karban HaOmer. So, you wanted to make sure that again there was someone watching over that field. So, we'll say, so what's the halacha? Okay, this is interesting. So let's say if you'd hire these people, they don't get paid for working on Shabbos. Right? They don't get paid Schar Shabbos. Okay. However, Lefichach, Ein achrayi Shabbos alav. Sefer Rabosai, you know, again, if you don't get paid, you're not responsible. So therefore, because they don't get paid for Shabbos, therefore, they're not responsible for anything that happens over Shabbos. Over Shabbos. Incredible. Hayah Schir Shabbos. Rabosai, let's say somebody was hired for the entire week, that or a Schir Chodesh, or an entire month, Schir Shana, an entire year, Schir Shavua, Shavua is like 7 years, then Nostin Lo Schar Shabbos. Then Rabosai, a person is paid for their work on Shabbos. Now, I know you bristle at that. What do you mean you're paid for your work on Shabbos? Shabbosai, so Rashi points out over here, Nosno Schar Shabbos, Shenivla Bischar Shar Yamim Ve'enum Fur Shabbos. So we'll say, there is a concept that you, obviously you can never pay someone for working on Shabbos, right? Never allowed to do that. So we'll say, but what happens if someone does have a job that spans over Shabbos, and they are doing things, not malacha, but they're doing things on Shabbos. Like we'll say, in these cases over here, for example, my job is to watch the Paraduma. My job is to watch these kids that they remain betara. Right? My job is to watch the field. So there's no malacha involved in that. So we'll say, there's a concept in halacha called havla. Havla means absorption. So when you're performing a task that spans a prolonged amount of time, and within that time is Shabbos, we don't look at your Shabbos wages as separate and distinct, but rather we look at your Shabbos wages as absorbed in the context of your weekday activity as well. So we'll say that's the halacha. More to say on that, but that's enough for now. So the Gemara says as follows. So the fichach achar Shabbos alav. And therefore we'll say because you are contracted for an entire week, a month, a year, 7 years. Sefer Bo say you have achrayus for whatever happens, whenever it happens. So the Gemara says, "My love, l'shalim." Then I will say, "Are we not talking about the idea that aloch l'maisa? If something happens to these items under your watch, that you are responsible?" So I will say, "Here's a case of where I'm a shomer sachar for what? I'm a shomer sachar for kachin, and yet what's the aloch? I have to pay. That's what I mean. It says I'm a chayiv." So we'll say it contradicts our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you're a Shomer Sachar for Kachim, there's no obligation to pay. Here we see that if you're a Shomer Sachar for Kachim, there is an obligation to pay. To which the Gemara says, no. You don't have to pay. Lo, the hafsid scharo. No, what it means is, if something happens to this stuff on my watch, I'm not obligated to pay the Beis HaMikdash for a paraduma, right? Or for barley, right? But I do lose my wage. So I don't have to pay, but I lose my wage. So the Gemara says, "Ihagi, if that's the case, Reisha Diktani Eina Chrayes Shabbos Alof, Hachanami Tilahav Sitzcharo." But we'll say, but we said before that Aloch Lameisa, if you're not contracted for Shabbos, then you're not responsible for what happens on Shabbos. Aye, but shouldn't I lose my wage if something happens? Umi Islei Schar Shabbos, but there is no Schar Shabbos in that case. Vahakatani Einos No Schar Shabbos. Ishtik. So he was silent. Amrle Midi Shmiel Chabaha. So he asked him, "Did you hear a resolution to this?" Amrle Hachi Amrav Sheshes. So we'll say talking about a case where take a look at Rashi. B'shekanam yado, shem yikalkel shmirasa yishalem, havada yishalem, shari horid atzmo lekach, v'shibed nechasav. So we'll say, we could be talking about a case over here where what? Where the shomer in question took on heightened level of responsibility. So we'll say, when we speak about the idea that a Shomer Sachar is not chayiv for Hekdish, not chayiv to pay in the case of Hekdish, that's a stam case. Again, he might lose his wage, but I will say if the Shomer Sachar decides to make himself more chayiv, in other words, he chooses to increase his liability. Kanam Yadol literally means he made a kinyan. He made a kinyan, and that kinyan created a heightened level of liability. Enoch Yinami, that works, and that will create that heightened level of liability. Okay, incredible. Bosei, so many beautiful, beautiful nuggets over here. So Bosei, so kind of just to consolidate what we have over here. So first of all, in general, we saw that by Hekdish, in order to free yourself from liability for Hekdish, what are you always going to need? Always going to need what? Always going to need a Shavua. Not Doraisa, but Midrabanon. Right, Midoraisa, there is no Shavua when it comes to Hekdish, but Midrabanon, if you have any type of involvement of Hekdish, and you were Shomer and Hekdish, you're going to have to pay in order to go ahead and free yourself from liability. So I'll say, so similarly again, in these cases of a paid custodian, if a paid custodian, something happens with Hekdish, then what's going to be the halacha? He's not going to be on the hook for the Hekdish, but he potentially will lose out on his wage. Obviously, if the shomer wants to take increased liability, so let's say again, I'll say I'm watching something from the Beis Hamikdash, the paraduma, some the barley for Karban Omer. If I choose to take on increased liability, and that is formalized through a kinyan with the Beis Hamikdash, then of course I will be chayav in that particular case. Good, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Shechai Bachriyusan, Yesh Lanona, V'she'en Chai Bachriyusan, Ein Lanona. So we'll say, so now, last part of the Mishnah. Well, not the last part yet. Rabbi Shimon says, now we'll say this was the price we just saw before. Right? Rabbi Shimon wanted to make a distinction between Kachim that you have responsibility for versus Kachim you don't have responsibility for. If you have responsibility for it, then ultimately, again, it is subject to Ona. If you don't have responsibility for it, it is not subject to Ona. So Tani Kamed Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. So we'll say they taught the following teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. Kachim Shechai Bachriyusan, Chayif. If ultimately, again, there's Kachim that you are responsible for, then indeed, I will say there is a Din Ona. Shani Kori Bahen, Bashem Vikichish. Because I call about these types of karbanos, literally again, you've done something wrong against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'she'inu chay b'achriyuson, but if you have kachim that you are not chayiv responsibility for, potter, then ultimately there's no. Why? Shani kori b'hen ba'amito v'kichish. Because that's not against God, that's about your fellow. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't make sense. Just the opposite, Rabbos. In other words, all the drushes we had before were that what? Ona'a applies to re'ehu, to your fellow, doesn't apply to something that is not Re'ehu. What's an example of something that's not Re'ehu, not your fellow? Kedish. So the Gemara says, Klapi Laya, what's going on over here? Amud Beis, Rabbos, Amud Beis, 58b. Epcha Mistabra. The exact opposite would seem to be the case. As Rabbos say, if something is Bahashem, if something is rebellion against God, then Bepashas, Rabbos say, that should be the case where there is no Ona'ah. If it's Re'ehu, then it should be Ona'ah. So what's going on over here? Amalei Saimi, should I erase this ruling? Amalei Lana, you don't have to erase anything. Hachi Kamer, this is what it means to say. Kachim Shechai Bachriyusin Chayiv. So we'll say if you have Kachim, that ultimately, again, you have responsibility for, in that case, there will be a Din Ona. Why? The Israbu, maybe Hashem the Kihich. Because we'll say they are literally, again, there's a ripui from that phrase. V'she'inu Chayiv Bachriyusin Pater, but if you are not responsible, ultimately, again, for Achrayus, and then you'll be patron on all. Why? De'im it mi ba'amito v'kichesh. Because they are excluded ultimately, again, on both sides, from the phrase of amito v'kichesh. Incredible. Good. So let's go back. Let's finish up the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa mocher sefer Torah, margalis u'behema eilin on all. So we'll say, so let's just talk about this phrase, because this is actually dramatically and incredibly important. So we'll say, here was the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, Afa mocher sefer Torah, behema umargalis ein lahen ona. So Rabbi Yehuda wanted to suggest that if you buy or sell a sefer Torah, an animal, or precious jewels, there is no ona. Okay, that was Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, lo amru el ela es elu. So mostly they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, they said to him, lo amru el es elu. We'll see what that phrase exactly means. See, right? But the Rabbanan said back to him, they did not say only these things. We'll define what that means in the Gemara right now. So we'll say, let's analyze this position, Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that there's no Ona, again, by a Torah, Sefer Torah, a behema and precious jewels? What's the pshat? Here we go. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af hamocher Sefer Torah, ein lo Ona. It will say, if you sell a Sefer Torah, or for that matter, buy a Sefer Torah, there's no Ona. Why? Lefi she'ein kates lidameha. Wow. Because Rabbi say, there is no way to evaluate a Sefer Torah. No way to evaluate a Sefer Torah. So Rabbi say, so think about this for just a moment. Think about this just a moment, Rabbi say. So Ona, what is the concept of Ona? What is the concept of Ona? The concept of Ona, Rabbi say, is that something has a value, and therefore, again, because it has a fixed value, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, you could figure out if it's being overcharged or undercharged. But says Rabbi Yehuda, there are things in this world that don't have a fixed value. Now, in a mundane sense, we saw an example of that. What's a mundane example of something that doesn't have a fixed value? Karka, excellent, real estate. right? Tefillah day fluctuates like this. Rabbi Yehuda says on a spiritual level, Rabbi Osei, Torah. Somebody were to ask you, what's the value of a Sefer Torah? So I could answer how much you could purchase a Sefer Torah for. If you ask me what the value is, I said, you know, I was just reading. I think it was the Belzer Rebbe, that when the Nazis, Yimach Shalom Zichron, came into the town, so they lit the shul, they lit the shul on fire. And I believe that it was the Belzer Rebbe's son that saw the shul ignited. The Sefer Torah was still inside. And he ran back in to go ahead and try to save the Sefer Torah. The Nazis, Yimach Shalom Zichron, saw that he went in, and they locked the doors. They shut the doors on the shul. And the child died inside of the shul, saving the Sefer Torah. And we'll say, you know how many stories like that there are in the history of our people? Of Yidden running in to buildings, shuls, ignited by our enemies. So ever wonder to yourself, like, what propels a Jew to run into a burning building? And Baruch Hashem, there are many other stories of Yidden running in to save Sefer Torah, and Baruch Hashem successfully going ahead and pulling them out. What propels a Jew to run into a burning shul to go in and save Sefer Torah? Is this Gemara? Because when I see something that is doesn't have a value because it transcends anything and everything in this world, I have to get it. But say that is the power of our Torah. There is no value to it. There is no way to valuate it. There is no way to attach any dollar amount to something that is simply of a different world. A Torah may be written of parchment of this world, of ink of this world, but what the Torah means to us, Rabbi Osei, is otherworldly. So if Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no. Because why? Because there's no value attached to it. Sometimes, we don't fully comprehend what it is that we do when we come together and learn, Rabbi Osei. Right? Think about this just a moment. Anything else in this world you could attach a value to. You can. You can attach a value to anything. But let's say, you think about this, even family time. For your family, you can attach a value to your family. People do this all the time. Person makes a decision to work versus spend time to their family. Right? Why? Because let's say, there's a value. I have to make money versus spend time. You could attach a value to anything. I'm not saying there's a value on my family members, but there's a value on that, right? Sometimes, again, I'll give up the family time because, again, there's something else that I place priority on right now. Right decision, wrong decision, I don't know. But for my soul, you can place value on it. There's only one thing in this world that you can't place value on, and that's what we're doing right now. You ever wonder what we do? I say, when we come and we learn together every single day, if somebody were to ask you, tell me, come on, how much is that daf worth? How much is that daf worth? $1 million? $10 million? $1 billion? I can't measure it. How can I possibly quantify the value of these words that are on this page? I can't. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no, by a Sefer Torah. Behemo margalus in la no. So Rabbi says, okay, that's beautiful for a Torah. What about the animal? What about a precious jewel? There's no there either. Why not? So Rabbi says, it's very interesting. Why? Because Rabbi says, because a person often needs similar of these items. In other words, if I have an ox, it's valuable for me to get another ox of the same type. Rashi points out to everyone, people say, why, what happens? You ever tried to hitch up two dissimilar oxen to a yoke? Right. It's a mess. It's a good chalamite activity, by the way. But it's a mess, right? To pull a yoke, you need two oxen, right, of the same... Yes, yeah, it's not even like caliber. Right, they have to be holding in the same place. But say in general, by the way, you know, it's an incredible metaphor in life, right? It's a good metaphor in marriage, right? It's a good metaphor in community. It's a good metaphor in building kehila. You can't put dissimilar things in the same yoke. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, the truth is they could be dissimilar. As long as what? As long as what? They're both willing to pull with the same amount of strength. Right? You could do it. You could do it. But everybody's got to be equally as committed to pulling the same yoke the same amount of weight. So therefore, again, I'll pay more to get a similar ox that I already have. Same thing with jewelry, with jewels. Right? Yeah, let's say, again, yeah, you have a jewel. People will pay more to go ahead and get another similar jewel. Incredible. Amru lo. So we'll say, by the way, I just want to point out, Chevra, I hope many of you started Maseches Sota. Right? I'll just give you a little kiss on my Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you haven't started, we even started a new WhatsApp group. That's how you know that it's real. There's a Sota WhatsApp group. If you don't want to, right? So I'll say, today is Daf Gimel and Sota. Daf Beis Mudalef and Sota was Kasha Lezavgon Kakriyas Yamsuf. Same exact word. There's talking about Shiduchim. That it is harder. It's hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a shidduch, to make a match as it is. Just look to see. Just interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Tamara says, "I v'halo call adam rasul zavgan," but you can say this about anything. So maybe ona shouldn't apply to anything because people like to buy similar items. No. Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivile, fani lo chashivile. No, it's not true. Rabbi Yehuda will say, obviously, a sefer Torah will say doesn't have ona for the reason we spoke about, and an ox, an animal, and jewels. Again, that's unique because people want similar items. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, so good, finally, Chashivi, va'od, va'ad kama, so we'll say, how much? In other words, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda will say, a person, right, a Sefer Torah is invaluable. Therefore, there's no. An ox, a person is willing to pay more to get something similar. Jewels, a person is willing to pay more to get something similar. But how much? Obviously, I'm going to say, there's a cap. What's the cap? This is incredible. The Gemara says, Amra Meimar ad kedei demeim. Person is willing to pay up to what? Double. I'll pay up to double to get a similar ox. I'll pay up to double to get a similar jewel. Tanya Behudu Ben Mesir Omer Afamocher Sus V'Sayif V'Chatitim or V'Chatitum B'Mochama Eilerona. But say similarly, by the way, if it's a time of war, people will pay exorbitant amounts of money for what? For horses, for swords, and for shields. There's no ona. Why? Well, it was actually an interesting halacha that obviously, and I will say, in times of acute need, well, the prices obviously change as well. So they hear the Gemara saying over here that in a time of war, B'Yudah Messiah says in a time of war, a person will pay extra for war needs, for horses, for swords, and for shields. So we'll say, how do we paskin over here like this? So Rabbi Yehuda is introducing an interesting idea. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Allah Chalamaisa, there is no ona by animals, right? By behema, by jewels, and by weaponry. By weaponry, especially in times of war. So we'll say, how do we paskin? And Sefer Torah. So the Rama Pasuk was Hilchos Mechira, Parak Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha Yud Gimel. Oh, Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel. Listen to this. Ramam says, Ham behema, Ham margalis, Hasayif Sefer Torah, Harei Heim Kishar Metaltalin V'yesh Bain Honaya. So we'll say the Rambam does not pass like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam passes that Allah L'maisa Ona is Ona is Ona. And it applies to everything. Now when we say everything, I will say obviously it applies to everything except what? Except the things that it doesn't apply to. Which Rabbi will say are the four things in the Mishnah. Which are Avadim, Karkaos, Hekdeshos, and Shtaros. Shtaros. So I will say so again. But other than that, all movable property. Even a Sefer Torah. Which again, I will say, as much as we had the beautiful drasha beforehand, right? The impassioned understanding as to why Torah is invaluable, that is absolutely true on a spiritual level. But Lamaisa, a Sefer Torah itself, can still be looked at as a physical commodity. So therefore, the Rambam rejects this idea of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore a Sefer Torah, sword, shields, horses, animals, jewelry, right? Jewels, everything is going to be subject to Ona. Beautiful. And we'll say, now, get ready. We are about to begin a ridiculously beautiful sugya, which is Emir Hashem going to take us through Shabbos. So we'll say, Shabbos, Mesh, you have to walk in for tomorrow's break. Just tell me, you have to be here. You have to be here. Right? So I'll say, now listen to this. Says the Mishnah. Sayyid also has to be here. But Lamai said, but he's going to be here because I need coffee also. So listen to this. So says the Mishnah. We'll say, tomorrow's Gemara. today, now from here until goes even up to Sunday a little bit. Yeah, up until Sunday's daf. Up until Sunday's great also. Don't give up. Sunday's gonna be fantastic. But tomorrow, and today, the rest of today. Okay, let's go. Mishnah. Let's say this is an incredible, and you're going to see it's a beautiful sugya and an incredibly important sugya. Kishem sha'ona b'mekach u'memkar. Now we'll say, we've been up to our necks in ona, right? Anything and everything we ever want. Same way that there is a concept of ona in mekach u'memkar, in transactional law, in buying and selling. Kach ona b'dvarim. So to Rabbi said, it's kind of another swarm. Now, let's see, here's what I want to talk about. The word ona, we have been translating ona as how have we translated it? Overcharging. So the truth is, the real ona really means to wrong or to abuse something. So in a case of transactional law, ona means I'm abusing the transaction. How am I abusing the transaction? Overcharging or undercharging. Ona's dvara means verbal abuse. Verbally wronging someone. So the Gemara says the same way that there's ona by mekach u'memkar, so too there is ona, just looking over here, I think, Chevra, that there's more people from Eretz Yisrael on Zoom than Baruch Hashem, than in Chutz Lars on Zoom. Incredible. At least my top two rows. Incredible. Such a schus. Okay, so we'll say, so the same way that there's ona, ultimately again, ona, By mekach u'memkar, so too there's ona by words. What does this mean? I'll say, what's an example of verbally wronging someone? Lo yomar lo bekama chayfet zevu onarets alikach. So we'll say there's some great cases over here. Don't go into a store or go over to a merchant and ask him how much something is if you have no intention of buying it. We'll say, now you'll say to yourself, what's wrong with that? Very simple. When you go to the merchant and you ask him how much this is, What is he thinking in his mind? Ooh, a potential sale. So, by the way, it's okay to ask if you're in the parasha. If you're in the parasha, right? But if you're not in the parasha, if you're not even thinking about buying something, don't ask about it. Don't ask about it, because all that does is set the person up for negative feelings. Im haya bal tshuva, sitting in a say, if a person was a bal tshuva, lo yomar lo zechar ma'asecha harishonim. Don't bring up his previous life. So tell me, what does a cheeseburger taste like? Right? How is it? Is it really as good as it looks? Don't do that. Imhu ben gerim, if a person is a child of converts, lo yomar lo zechor ma'ase avosecha. Don't say to him, oh, you know what? Remember the actions of your forefathers. Shneimar veger lo sona velo slachatzina. Now, I want to point out something interesting. There's a lot of stuff kind of being grouped together in this Mishnah. Because I will say, there is a different halacha, a separate halacha, an additional halacha of verbally mistreating the ger. There's a special sensitivity that a person has to have towards the convert. Because I will say, it is easy to marginalize the convert because the convert doesn't have the family structure that everyone else does. So, therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us sensitivity vis-a-vis the convert. But for everyone, there is the concept of anos dvar. So we'll say, let's go. Incredible sugi. Let's go. Gemara. Tana banan. Lo solo ishe samiso. Torah says, literally, do not afflict your fellow. Do not wrong your fellow. Bonos tarkas medaber. That is talking about verbally wronging someone. Saying something hurtful, saying something offensive, saying something insensitive. So the Gemara says, atomar bonos tarma enel bonos mamon. How do you know it's talking about verbally wronging someone? Maybe he's talking about onas mamon, it's financially wronging someone. Kishu omer v'chisimkaru mimkar lamisecha, o kano miyod amisecha, hare onas mamon omer. So what's the nechis? It already says, if you sell something to someone, or you buy something from someone, don't go ahead and be ma'ana them. That's referring to onas mamon. So the Gemara says, haman nekayim losonu ishas amiso. Aye, so therefore, what does the pasuk mean when they have an additional phrase that says, do not afflict your fellow. So the Gemara says, ba'onas dvarim. That's talking about verbally wronging someone. Okay, so I want to say, how do you verbally wrong someone? What's an example of this? So we'll say, if someone was a Baal Tshuva, don't say to him, remember your earlier deeds. Now, I just want to understand, what you point out over here. There's two ways to look at this. One way of doing this is, it's a shtach. You think you're special? You think you're so holy? Remember what you were doing. You know, we think about this Baal Tshuva, we think about this about like somebody who went ahead and they came from, you know, 30 years ago. And I would say, all of us are Balei Tshuva. I did Averis yesterday, and ultimately, I tried to do Tshuva for them. And I would say, you're not supposed to remind a person of their past misdeeds. Whether it's that in a previous chapter in life, they didn't observe the halachas, okay, that could be, or just, yes, I will say, don't remind people of their mistakes. One of the hardest things in interpersonal relationships, you ever have a scenario like this where you wrong someone, right? And you owned it, and you apologized for it, and you moved on. And then what happens? You get into another argument, and then what happens? This may or may not occur with one spouse, right? May or may not, right? And then what happens? You get into another argument, and suddenly, what do they say? This is just like the time you did that. Like, what? Right? I thought we filed that. I thought that's done. So I want to say, there's a din that you're not supposed to bring up a person's past misdeeds. Now, again, if a person didn't do tshuva for it, when we talk about, again, a person being a Baal Tshuva, you could be a historical Baal Tshuva, and therefore you shouldn't bring up your past life. Or just in general, if I make mistakes, and I've owned those mistakes, don't bring it up again. So the Gemara says, similarly, Imhaya ben Gerim, Al Yomar lo zuchor ma'aseh avosecha, person descended from converts. Person shouldn't say, you know what? Don't get so high on yourself. Remember what your ancestors did. So I will say, ger Torah. Let's say, I will say, a person is a convert. He's coming to learn Torah. Al yomer lo pesha achol nevelas atreif hashkatsim v'ramosim ba'lomo Torah. Shner piyak gvura. So I will say, can you imagine a person converts or a person becomes it, right? And wants to learn Torah. You should never say to such a person, the mouth that ate all of these non-kosher items is now going to come and learn Torah. So we'll see. In other words, we'll say what you see something very interesting. What's the chap of Onas Tevarim? Onas Tevarim says like this: don't say something to someone about something they cannot change, that is just going to be hurtful. So we'll say this in general. You know, what's interesting is there's a place for Musar. Right, there's a place sometimes to give each other Musar. We're supposed to rebuke each other if we see each other doing something wrong. Onas Devarim is, don't bring up something about someone that they can't change. And therefore the only reason you're bringing it up is why? Or the only effect of these words is what? It's going to be hurtful. It's going to be hurtful and painful. It's incredible. Himhay Yisrumar, let's say here's another incredible one. Let's say you see that a person is suffering. Himhay Yuchaloyim Ba'inalov. Person is suffering with different life challenges, or person is suffering with illness. Oh, shayim mekaber asbanav chas v'shalom chas v'shalom. Person buried a child. Al yomer lo kedar sha'amr lo chaver v'Eov. So I will say, Eov's friends, Eov lost everything, and when Eov's friends tried to console him, they did it in a very interesting way. They said to him, Halo yirascha k'silascha tegvasecha v'tom drachecha zechor na mihu naki avad. So I will say, listen to this. Eov's friends said to him, you know, Eov, God is just. And therefore, if suffering is happening to you, you must have done something wrong. Now, I will say, they were trying to console him. Now, how are they trying to console him? They were trying to say, Eov, fix whatever it is that is broken in your life. The Gemara says, don't do that. Someone suffering physically, someone suffering with the loss of a loved one, never go ahead and say these words to someone. Now, I will say, Could it be true that if a person is suffering, it's because of something they've done wrong? Very possible. It's also possible that tzaddikim suffer in this world because of no fault of their own, but because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has some greater master plan. I will say, what is the Gemara teaching us over here? When someone is suffering, your job is not to be the Navi, the self-appointed prophet, to help them understand why suffering is occurring. When someone is suffering, you have one job and one job only, which is, be present. That's all. Be present. That a person, because the only thing worse than suffering is suffering alone. If you're a friend, just be able to say, that's why, what's the halacha by nichum aveilim? right? Someone suffered a loss in life. You come in to console them. Rebbe says it's incredible, right? We have no like magic formula of consolation, right? When you leave, you say Amakom Yinachem. And what do you say when you walk in? What do you say when you walk in? Nothing. Nothing. Because Rebbe says people make this mistake all of the time. Because Rebbe says the difference is that often we are very uncomfortable with silence. We're very uncomfortable. So what do we do? What do we do? Sometimes, like, we say the most incredibly ridiculous, insensitive, hurtful, and ignorant things. Instead, Chazal said, get comfortable with silence. Walk in. Because sometimes when a person suffered a loss, they don't need your words of wisdom, because the truth is, you don't have any. You don't have any. Just be there with them. And I will say, by the way, it's not just by Nichum Aveilim. You know, I will say, not many times, like, people in life are undergoing something difficult. And it's interesting to see, often, people distance themselves from others who are going through difficult times. Illness, shalom bayis, parnasa. Why do people do that? It's not a lack of friendship or a lack of empathy. It's awkwardness. People don't know what to say to the person who's undergoing a difficult time. So instead, what they just do is they kind of distance themselves, not even realizing that that distance hurts the person who's suffering even more. Because where are all my friends? Right? Sometimes it's even my family. Where do they go? And meanwhile, I want to say the best thing you could do for a person who is going through a rough patch in life is you lift up the phone or a text message or a WhatsApp message, a voice note. Say, listen, Plony, I know you're going through a difficult time. I just want you to know I'm here. That's all. I don't have anything to say. I don't have any insights. I don't have any wisdom. I just want you to know that I'm here. And I will say, you ask any person who is undergoing a difficult time in life, when you get a message like that from someone who you know or you don't even know so well, and that person just says, I'm here, whether you take them up on anything or not, I will say, the nechama, that gives a person of knowing that they are not alone in this world. Sometimes the most incredible gift that you can give to someone. So the Gemara says, therefore, conversely, all of these are examples of what we'll say. Things don't say. Don't say. A, because they may not be true. And even if they are true, all they're going to do is be hurtful. And how you chamar of action to a. I'm going to say one more piece. Don't stop for today. First wide line. Right? If we'll say, let's say again. And how you chamar of action to a. Mimenu. Lo yomar lahem l'choy tzaploni shumocher to a. V'yodeya bo shalom machar la'olam. So I'll say, so this is actually an interesting case. This seems to be even like, it's just like common sense. So let's say somebody comes to me, right? Somebody's coming to purchase wheat, right? Merchant's going to purchase wheat. And what happens, we'll say, I say, oh, you know, wheat, yeah, go to Reuven. Go to Reuven, right? Because Reuven was, meanwhile, Reuven never sold a kernel of wheat in his life. So don't go ahead and dispense advice that's empty. And we'll say, now, by the way, why would a person do that? Right, well, it's such an interesting case, right? So the merchants come to me looking for wheat. I say, I don't have any wheat, but you know, go to Reuven. Meanwhile, Reuven doesn't sell wheat. I was saying, deep down, everybody wants to be useful. And everybody wants to be purposeful. So somebody asks me for help, right? I want to be able to help. It comes from a good place. But sometimes what we do is we direct people in directions which are totally useless in an effort to make ourselves feel better. So Nas Devar means, don't make yourself feel better at someone else's expense. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Omer Af lo yit la'ina val nekach v'sha she'in lo damim. So again, I will say, ultimately, again, this is literally, do not go ahead and set your eyes on a purchase in a time when you have no money. So I will say, this is reflective of ambition. In other words, don't start looking at stuff and inquiring about stuff when you don't have the funds to purchase it. Because the mice, again, all it's going to do is build up the hopes of the seller. And meanwhile, you don't have any money. Let's finish with this. Shari hadavar masr lelev. Hadavar masr lelev ne'emar bar, ne'emar bo, ve'areisem elohecho. So we'll say, because remember again, we'll say this whole chap of onas tevarim, we'll say, these are all words that you're using. Now some of the words, ultimately, again, are clear and inappropriate and should not be used. But I will say, a lot of these things are nuanced, and are totally dependent on what your intentions are. So they will say, that's why the pasuk by Onaz Tevarim says, V'yareisa me'elokecha. Fear God. Why? Because they will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what your intentions are. And if your intentions are to hurt, your intentions are to harm, your intentions are to cause discomfort, you know, even if you could explain away your words some other way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what your intentions are, and therefore what? Therefore be exceedingly careful. I will say, stop over here for today. What a Gemara. We'll say, just wait till tomorrow. Just wait till tomorrow gets even better. We'll say, tremendous schos. Baruch Hashem, for learning with everyone at Chol HaMoed. Tremendous schos to spend Yom Tov together. A good night, everyone. A good night of Shabbos. Looking forward to a beautiful Shabbos. Last day's Yom Tov together. We'll say, Shkayach. Camera on Zoom. A good night of Shabbos, everyone. A good night.